Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. If you're a parent, you know how important it is to be sure your child is succeeding academically. But also important is the need for them to succeed socially and emotionally. In fact, nearly 1 in 5 kids in the U.S. struggles with emotional or behavioral challenges, so it seems obvious that there needs to be education around helping kiddos deal with these struggles. And what does that actually look like? Well, one word that seems to make its way into conversation when talking about this is resilience. Wouldn't it be nice for someone to say, boy, your child is really resilient? Resilient children are defined by their ability to adapt and overcome adversity, show significant better academic, social, and mental health outcomes. And studies indicate that resilient kids are 11% more likely to graduate college, report better stress management, and exhibit higher academic and social competence. Resilience acts as a buffer against adverse childhood experiences and helps children navigate challenges, fostering stronger social connections, higher motivation, and improved self-confidence. It's considered a crucial developmental capacity rather than a single skill. So if there was an educational place for your child that was more than just programs and more about building relationships, creating belonging, and helping them see a future filled with purpose and hope, and helping them become more resilient, wouldn't that be a place you'd want your child to be? Today, we're going to learn more about an organization that offers that and more. My guests today are Darcy Green, Executive Director of the John 23 Education Center, and Julie Camphouse, Program Director. The John 23 Education Center believes that every young person deserves a place where they are known, supported, and inspired to discover who they are becoming. They serve students from 4th through 12th grade, walking alongside them academically and socially during some of the most important years of their lives, ultimately helping them to become more confident and resilient. So welcome to the show today, Darcy and Julie.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You are certainly welcome. Why don't you start by telling us more about this mission of John 23?
Yeah, thank you. So at John 23, we want to empower our students, not only academically, but socially and emotionally. And we want to help them learn how to advocate for themselves.
And what inspired you to join the John 23 team in the first place?
So back in 2021, when we had a little bit of time to think, I was just kind of thinking about what I wanted to do next in my life as far as jobs, career, and thinking about what my passions are and trying to tie that into then what I could do as a career. So nonprofit work came to my mind, and I'd never really worked in nonprofit before, knew a little bit about it, but knew it involved helping people. So I didn't have experience at that point, so I decided to go back to school, and I got my master's in public administration with a nonprofit emphasis, and that way I could have those tools to be able to speak to nonprofit work when applying for jobs. So my first thought was that I like being in leadership, so I thought, what a perfect opportunity to become an executive director. So I set my goals high to become an executive director. But while going to school, I also thought I needed to get the experience needed. And so I did work for a small nonprofit as an office manager. And during that time, I learned all the good back office stuff about finances and grants and social media and just all the information and resources that I would need to again, be able to speak to become an executive director.
And for me, I spent 12 years as a classroom teacher. I became burnt out again due to the many challenges common among teachers nowadays. I tried different age groups. I tried private teaching in private schools, public schools. So when I found out about this opportunity at John 23, I was very hesitant because I thought my time working with kids as a as a career was behind me. I was ready to look into other areas, but it was really the employees who I met and I listened to as they shared their passion for the kids that they worked with. And I saw the belief that they had in the fact that their program was making a difference. And that kind of gave me hope to believe that I could do this as a job. And I have found that I've been able to make more of a direct relational impact with the students that I work with versus when I was a teacher. At the nonprofit, I'm able to really support students. And if they need to be supported in third grade math, I'm able to do that for a seventh grader versus as a teacher with 25 other kids, I don't often have that opportunity. So it's just been very life-giving for me to be a part of John 23.
Very nice. That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you see as some of the challenges that students and families face today that people outside education may not fully see?
So when I was in college getting my degree for education, there was a term that has always stuck out to me, and that was social currency or social capital. And that is the ability to build relationships which lead to better opportunities, internships, or educational support. And so for the context that we work with, we work in the inner city of Racine, and the parents that we're working with are often working multiple jobs or single parent, low income. And these parents don't know how to advocate for the resources that their children need in school. If their child is diagnosed with ADHD, they don't have the background knowledge of what is available in the U.S. or what they can ask and say to the professionals at school to get the ball rolling. I know that there's many processes that have to take place in order for students to get the support that they need, and that needs to happen at a young age. But unfortunately, when parents don't know that, their child gets pushed along in the system, and then we're at the situation where our largest number of students are, which is their seventh, eighth grade, and still haven't learned how to multiply or still haven't learned how to read and enjoy it and be able to talk about what they were reading. Another difficulty within that is that the parents don't know how to be a part of their child's education, and they don't really understand the importance of a child's education. And I don't say that with any ill will. I love the parents that I work with, and they're so clear how much they love their child. I mean, they're bringing them to the center or providing ways for their child to get to the center while they're working. Mm-hmm. But there is a cultural difference in the United States versus another country for parents who are new to the country, where they don't understand just how important it is that the students are getting all of the support that they need at this age.
Let's take that a step further then and have you describe what the key programs are and how you support these students from 4th through 12th grade.
So when I started at John 23, there was just tutoring and homework help. And I don't want to say just, but there wasn't a full program. So as we looked at what we were doing, and I'm always like, what's best for kids? What can we do? What more can we do for kids? What I recognized was we were trying to help these kids, but we didn't know where they landed for reading or math. So we're trying to assume that they read at a seventh grade level, but really, in fact, they may only read at a third and fourth grade level. So then the comprehension isn't quite there at the grade level we thought they were at. So I was looking into different assessment platforms that would help us know where the kids were at, so then we could help them better. So the assessment platform tests them in reading and math, and then it gives a score. And then with that score, then we can determine how to help them better with resources. And there's a practice app called Freckle. And then there's our AR platform, which is where they take the reading comprehension test to see where they're at. So adding that software, that platform to our program has just helped us tremendously. And I know Julie can speak to that more in the classroom.
So as Darcy mentioned, John 23 started out with homework help and tutoring, but we've been able, because of this platform called Renaissance, offer a more individualized academic plan for each student. And this is a platform that is used by local schools in Racine, and it's something that I'm familiar with having taught for many years. And what's great about it is that if a student comes and they don't have homework, we're able to go back to those third grade skills to scaffold them up eventually to be ready for content at their grade level. And that's something that I know is not happening at schools, but some of the other programs that we offer are Read to Succeed, where children are able to read with an adult. And then, as Darcy mentioned, take a comprehension test afterwards. We also do an enrichment program where each week we bring in guest speakers or we provide content about career readiness, movement education, where they get to go to the gym and just learn the importance of moving our bodies, fellowship and teamwork. And then we do STEM hands-on learning as the last hour of our programming that we do Monday through Thursday with students. We also do social emotional learning with our students, teaching them different coping strategies and skills that they can bring into their daily life, mm-hmm. which is so important.
And I imagine anybody can go to your website and do a deeper dive on those programs. So
Absolutely.
We're just kind of doing a cursory overview here. Mm-hmm. But we talked in the beginning about the importance of supporting a child socially and emotionally, and not just with their academic growth. You guys are doing a great job supporting them with all these different programs and their academic growth. But how do you support them socially and emotionally?
We have a student who is a young man. He's a high school student. He's been attending since he was in third grade, and he clearly is trying to better himself by bringing himself here. He walks to the center, but he asked me at one point in the fall if we had any messenger bags lying around, and I thought, well, no, but I could probably find you one. And so I go on my social media platforms and I ask, does anyone have a brown messenger bag? It has to be brown. It's important because he's in high school and he wants that.
What's a messenger bag?
To carry his
laptop.
Like
his a backpack, laptop. But it's the one that goes in front.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Didn't know that. All right.
Yes. And the same student, around Christmas time, we had a lot of coats donated to us, and he was able to kind of handpick a Carhartt style jacket, which again, this child walks to the center. And so it's important that he's warm, but also important to him that he's stylish.
Yes.
So that's just one example of the way that we are able to use resources within our community when we don't have specifically what a child is looking for. And we're able to network and provide the child with what they feel that they need in order to be successful and ready for their day and their future. So,
and that's what makes your approach so different from traditional academic youth programs, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Is that extra piece? Well, there are over 70% of nonprofits that report increased demand for services, while nearly half struggle with staffing and funding. And that's a tough space to be in, because you all are trying to provide the best possible care and support for these kids. But what does that reality look like behind the scenes at John 23 Education Center as it works to serve the students who need it the most? We're going to take a quick break and you'll find out the answer to that question when we return. We'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit ellenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community. I'm your host, Jill Economo. And my guests today are Darcy Green and Julie Camphouse from the John 23 Education Center. So I stated before the break that over 70% of nonprofits report an increased demand for services, while nearly half struggle with staffing and funding. Certainly a challenge for the sector. What does that reality look like behind the scenes at John 23 as it works to serve students who need it most? Darcy, why don't you address that and then tell us what some of the biggest challenges nonprofits like yours face today?
Sure. At John 23, we rely on volunteers and volunteers in the classroom, but also volunteers on our committees. So we have a standing committee and a fundraising committee. So the standing committee is kind of like your board of directors that other nonprofits are familiar with. And with that committee, that's the people that you would want to come alongside you as you're coming up with new ideas, collaborate with to see the next steps for the center, and to have people who are vested in interest in education and kids. And then we have our fundraising committee, which we're just launching now and trying to come up with fundraiser, but not only with the fundraiser to have some financial support, but also to bring out to the community who we are and to get people more involved and to learn more about us and to bring their kids to the center, et cetera.
So you've got specific people in place that are helping you with that struggle of staffing and funding.
Correct.
Because not everybody has that.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Right. So it's nice you have people in place for that. Yeah. What about the challenges that you guys face?
Some of it is the funding sources as well. We have some great funders who have been with John 23 since they started in 2009, have been great advocates and support for the center. But we're always looking to fill the pipeline, build relationships with more people in the community to have those funders to be able to then support us for a long time. We want to stay around for a long time. So we definitely need people, need donors, that sort of thing. So another thing is specifically math tutors. For us specifically at the center, we find that kids struggle in math a lot, and finding that right person to help kids can be challenging.
And I imagine you have to make sure there's a personality match, right? Yeah. I mean, you need to make sure that this child wants to work with this tutor or this mentor.
Right.
I think it's important to mention at this point, because you're talking about the challenges behind staffing and funding. I mentioned to every nonprofit that I see that there is a resource called Charity EZ that is a free resource to nonprofits, and it helps you in that funding challenge. And I appreciate you sharing that so that other nonprofits don't feel like they're alone in their challenges. But I also know that along with these challenges are those gold nuggets, those moments that you wouldn't change for anything, right? What would you say have been some of the most rewarding experiences of leading a nonprofit serving youth?
Well, I think it starts with our community and the community referring students and families to our center.
Yeah. Just recently, I was talking to a parent about her son and goal setting, as we do at John 23, checking in, making sure that the student is making progress and checking in with how it's going at school. And the mom wanted to share with me that she had seen such an amazing growth in her son's confidence and also in his ability in math. And she said that about a year ago, she was kind of at the end of her rope where she didn't feel like she had any resources to help her son because the math that he was doing was not the math that she grew up with. And I think a lot of people can relate to that.
I feel the pain. Yeah. It was many years ago for me, but I do understand that.
Right. And she just was at the school asking what there was. And she heard about John 23. And she described it like a beacon of hope, like an answer to her prayers that this even existed, because we are the only free after school program in Racine. So like Darcy said, the more that we can get our name out there to parents and let them know that we're here to support the parents and to support the schools, because many schools are not able to even provide after school help for children.
Well, and I talked in the beginning about that resilience piece, you know, how if you were a parent and you knew that your child struggled academically, but also perhaps socially, behaviorally, and if you knew of a place that helped them with that, a place that would close that gap on those challenging situations, whatever it is for any child or family, wouldn't you want your child to go there? And it sounds like this mom is super happy that she was able to find this place. And again, as you say, very rewarding to be a part of that, knowing that you're providing a solution to a problem that we unfortunately have, you specifically in Racine, but I'm sure that's a situation all across America, right?
Right.
You know, so but to be a part of the solution, I'm sure is rewarding. You talked a little bit about it before, Darcy, with how the community plays a role in the success when you were talking about needing tutors and stuff, but can you elaborate a little bit more on how the community plays a role in the success of John 23 Education Center?
Yeah. So I believe having key relationships in the community with not only the schools, but also in the businesses and corporations that are within the community. So establishing those relationships and also relationships with local churches, you know, being able to talk to those congregations and let them know, first of all, who we are, because a lot of people don't know who we are. But then, you know, at that point, you're you know, looking to have people come alongside you. And, you know, either if they're a donor or a volunteer, then that's, you know, what we like. We like to build those relationships, make those connections in the community. So that leads to volunteering. You know, we always can use volunteers, and volunteering can look different at different, like we can have a classroom volunteer who can actually help with homework. We can have a volunteer who reads with the kids.
So you don't necessarily have to be a retired teacher to help, whatever your skill set is.
Right.
And you like working with children, maybe just reach out, right? And just say, this is what I like to do. This is what I'm skilled at. Can you use any help in this area?
Yeah. And Julie has a great questionnaire, a form online under our volunteer tab that goes into the specifics and asks people what they're interested in.
We try to match people to what they enjoy and what they're good at instead of making a square block fit into a circular, what's the
right,
saying?
Right, right.
Yeah, what is it?
A square fit into a round hole.
Yeah.
Something like that. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm there
with
you, Julie. Yeah. I get what you're saying. So you have a form online that people can go to on your website that just outlines what they're interested in, what they like to do, what their skill set is, and then you match something to that. Okay. Well, tell us about your vision for the future. Where do you hope the organization is, let's say, in 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, if I could sum it up to one word, growth. Growth.
Okay.
Growth in all areas. I mean, academic growth for students. And with that, we hope to increase student attendance, have students who come, but then they come more often, because obviously then that increases their growth in their academics, and increase our grantors. So looking, filling that pipeline that I talked about, and building those relationships with new grantors, because we know that sometimes it can take a long time before a donation is made until they get to know you and they see your letter of intents come across or your grant requests come across. And then, you know, our donor base with all of that, once that's established, you know, then we can hire more staff. So, you know, you get more staff and you're able to help more kids and,
right.
You can pay the staff and pay a salary. So it all really ties in together. So that's just continuing to look at that growth each year. And if it's adding more programming, you know, I'm all about what's best for kids. I say that a lot to Julie. And she's like, oh, my gosh, she's saying it again. but why not? That's the freedom we have at the center to be able to do that and just see what kids need and just continue to grow and build and just be really good for the community. Be that resource, that free resource in Racine.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, you're preparing kids for the future.
Yeah.
And so you need to have an idea of what that's going to look like for your organization so that you can continue to grow, continue to meet the needs of the kids, whatever they are. Again, academically, behaviorally, socially, you know, all those areas. It's so important to be able to walk alongside a child and the family, like you said. You know, it's not just the child you're serving.
Yeah.
It's the family as well. So I imagine it's just very fulfilling to be a part of that. We never get to every single thing that you might want to talk about, but the idea here is that we're planting a seed. So if you're listening and you like what you hear from Darcy and Julie about the John 23 Education Center and you want to learn more or get involved somehow, whether that's volunteering, partnering, donating, however you want to support the mission, tell us how listeners can best do that.
I would say going to our website, www.john23educenter.org. And we also have an email, communication@john23.org. And then that way, if they have any questions prior to even filling out maybe a volunteer form, or if they just want more information about the center, I also have a marketing booklet, I guess you could call it, where it gives all the information about John 23 in a nice little booklet. We could email it out to them. So like companies or corporations, if they're needing something more tangible in their hands, because sometimes to donate to organizations, they need more information. So this could be something tangible that they might need to show a VP or somebody. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, so then we could email that out or we can send it in a hard copy as well. So,
okay. So, and again, the form for volunteering is on your website.
Correct.
So you just go there and you'll find a lot of ways to connect. Okay. Well, in our final moment here, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to share?
So what gives us hope at John 23 Educational Center is watching young people realize their own potential, sometimes for the very first time. When a student begins to believe they belong, they are capable, and that their future matters, everything changes. This work truly takes the community, whether through volunteering, mentoring, praying for our students, or supporting our mission. Everyone can play a role in shaping the next generation of leaders. If there's one thing we hope listeners take away today is this: when we invest in young people, we strengthen families, communities, and the future itself. We'd love for you to be a part of a story with us.
Okay. Very well said. I appreciate you visiting with us today, Darcy Green and Julie Camphouse from the John 23 Educational Center. I appreciate you sharing all the ways that you support youth along their educational journey and beyond in all those ways we talked about. So I appreciate you being here today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Stay tuned next week to hear how another wonderful organization like John 23 Educational Center is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. Always remember, whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.